Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is soon to come.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart to the Lord.
What you gonna do?
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 Tuned into Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come across these skyways and airways on this evening, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. Hallelujah. I just thank those of you that are able to tune in tonight, and so may God richly bless you, and I hope and pray that you had a beautiful time in Mass today, various services that you attended around the world, and I just know that God met you there. And hallelujah, we are intending to have a beautiful time here tonight. Hallelujah. Talking about the Word of God. But before we do that, I just want to send out a... just condolences to those of you that have lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, the last 48 hours, the last 24 hours, the last 16 hours, 4 hours ago, 30 minutes ago. We just want to send condolences out to you, you and you, and to let you know, hallelujah, that you are not alone in your hour of grief, and to let you know that we're standing with you and praying with you and for you, that God will bring about relief and restoration unto your soul. Hallelujah. And so we just want you to know that you have other sojourners and disciples and sisters and brethren all around the globe that love you and that are praying consistently, night and day. Hallelujah. For your well-being. So just know that you're not alone. You're not alone in this hour of bereavement. Hallelujah. And so we just want you to just be strengthened, and God bless you and you and you. Hallelujah. I will be with you 1 hour tonight. And so now we're going to go on into our opening prayer. And I'm asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down and acknowledge our Lord and our Savior. I want to present to some and introduce to others. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is our Lord and our Savior. He is our soon coming Messiah. Hallelujah. He is the Lord of hosts, and he is the Lord of my salvation. Hallelujah. He's the keeper of my soul. Hallelujah. So we just want to go down now and just reference him at this time, asking those of you that will to bow your heads at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, enabling us together in unity once again, God, around this spectrum. We know that this earthly soil that we're treading on, God, is not our permanent destination. But we know that you're lying in waiting, a place that's not built by mortal man, but you are the creator and you are the architect. But until you crack those clouds one historical day, we will continue to mount up before the four corners of this earth, from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you on tonight, God, to anoint, hallelujah, me your servant, anoint these lips of clay, God. Able me to bring of me from a word to those that may, then again, may not know of you and the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me your servant with words of wisdom, words of encouragement to those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their souls. Father God, we'd be so mindful to give your name the glory and all the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we'll let the cathedral of faith say amen and amen. And that is Cathedral of Faith, believers in Jesus Christ and in his word. Let the house of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. All right, I'm encouraging you to get close, get up close, because we're going to be talking about faith on tonight. And I want you to get your laptop, your computer, your iPhone, your iPad, phone, and all your digital toys and bring them aboard. As we always say, or we are in need of them. Hallelujah. So you can get your chip and your dip and whatever you want to see. And come along and allow me, hallelujah, under directions of Jesus Christ, to bring unto you the divine word of truth. Hallelujah. So we're going to take you right now, without any further ado, we're going to take you into a program that's already a live program, that's already in progression. And I will, at this time, give out the numbers to the studio. And at the conclusion of this program, you are welcome to call in and speak to your host live on live radio. Those numbers are 646-230-74. That number again is 646-230-74. The next guest call in is 877-598-8654. The guest call in is 877-598-8654. And at the conclusion of this program, you are welcome to call in. And if you have any prayer petitions, please call in and do so. Hallelujah. Because that is the reason that I'm here, is to minister unto you and to pray for you. Hallelujah. That God will bring about change in your circumstances. All right, now we're going to go, as I foreseen, on into a live program. Hallelujah. At this time. And so our sermon on tonight is the birth of true hope. I'm going to say that one more time. The birth of true hope. And we're going to read our first key scripture. And it reads like this. Hallelujah. The Christian hope is sure. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Isaiah 9:1. Through 7. We're going to move on down to our second key scripture, and it reads like this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Hebrews 11:1. Hallelujah. Despite much debate and discussion, we are told that some scholars have not reached a consensus on the meaning of glorious Masonic oracles. Some may suggest that Isaiah envisioned some living monarch when he penned these words. Others propose that he had a mind, hallelujah, in mind, that the occasion of a coronation. Still others think he clearly envision some distant divine event. We know that this debate, withstanding the Christian church, reads this passage and sees in it the gift of God's love in Jesus Christ. Now, God's pledge of hope for his church. The Christian hope is guaranteed by Christ's life, death, and resurrection. This passage teaches you and I that the Christian hope is not in vain. In these verses, we see that the fulfillment of the hope where darkness once dominated, life spring forth. Where death had dominion, life come forth. Where no hope existed, hope now appears. In the contrast to wishful thinking, we find out that Christian hope is true. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. And we know that he is faithful. God is faithful to his promise. Apart from God, you and I have no hope. But with God, all things are possible. We know that the Christian hope is sure. And as we were reading in the law of Isaiah 9 and 1 through 7, Isaiah writes in the past tense. He writes as though the future has already happened. His confidence in God allowed him to place the light of future hope in immediate proximity to the agony of the present darkness. Now, because it would happen immediately, but because it was immediate evidence to the eve of his faith. We know that he experienced faith, and as the writer of Hebrews perceived it, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And again, that scripture reading is coming out of Hebrews 11 and 1. We know that those of us who hope in Christ and are walking in the darkness of this world's problems, trials, and tribulations, see the light ahead, are sustained by hope. For as certain as the dawning of a new day brings forth light that drives away darkness, so does the birth of the Christ child drives away the darkness of despair. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. We know that our bodies have been constructed to withstand an enormous amount of pressure. We know that God has made you and I to be fairly resilient people. We can survive the heat of the tropics, of the icy winds of winter. With undaunted courage, we can go through seasons of illness, financial reversal, domestic disappointment, unemployment, or the death of someone next to us. And if we don't lose the one essential ingredient, and that, my friend, my sister, and my brother, is hope. So we're talking about tonight the birth of true hope. I want to ask you on tonight, those of you that are listening live out in the digital audience tonight, have you given up hope? Have you once had hope, but now that ray of hope has diminished because it seemed like whatever that you had hoped for or had envisioned has never become reality? But I want to encourage you on tonight to keep hope alive. Keep on believing. Keep on standing for what you know is right. Keep reading the word of God and allowing God to open up his wisdom unto you and his real light unto you as well. We can rebound against wind and weather and calamity and tragedy, even disease and death. So long as we have our hope, we can live weeks without food, days without water, and even several minutes without air. But take away our hope, and within the briefest amount of time, we toss it in the towel. Knowing that this is true about his creators and his creatures, God called hope the anchor of the soul. We know that the irreplaceable, ineluctable source of determination, it's not only cause, it's our anchor. But he developed a helpful series of thought about hope. And the Bible says one special section of scripture, he concentrates direct attention upon this subject. And that particular section is a major emphasis here. But when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. That thus, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as a confirmation. It's an end of every dispute. In the same way, God designed even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose. Interposed with an oath, in order that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement, we who have fled for refuge and land hold of the hope set before you and I. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul is a hope both sure, steadfast, and one which enters within the veils where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for you and I. Having become a high priest, hallelujah, forever, according to the order of Melchizedek in Hebrews 6:13-20. Hallelujah. I want to ask you this question. Have you ever driven down a road only to find a dead end? How many times do you and I encounter dead ends in life and conclude that further effort are useless? Often life dead ends discourage you and I because they seem to come at times when we have sacrificed and struggled so much. Such a broke and unexpected ending seems so unjust. During a time when the line of David seems to be heir at a dead end, we know that the prophet Isaiah delivered a word of hope. Through the prophet, God promised that a branch would grow forth a tree that had been cut down to the root. He promised a king from the lineage of David at a time when enemy had all but wiped out the nation. He promised that the Messiah, his message of hope and life and grace, would come from the remnant of a defeated, downtrodden, and desolate people. We know that in today's world, in today's society, we live in an age where dead-end experiences such as divorce, unemployment, a lack of education, hallelujah, are all commonplace. But the promise extensions at a time of extensions is characterized of God. He can bring new hope and life to those who have experienced dead ends. We've come to find out, hallelujah, that God is faithful to his promise. Even though it may not be visible, he is often building a connection road, hallelujah, beyond the dead end side. Our challenge is to believe in his promises and wait until he connects the road and change the dead end to open highway. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Oh, bless your holy name, God. So, if you have come an end road in your life, I am encouraging you to turn around. There might be another outlet. And I know that with our own power, we cannot succeed to do anything. But I know by the power of God that it invested in you and I, in us, we can do all things. So I want you to just turn around where you see a dead end road. I want you to turn around because there is an exit road. There can be new hope and a new beginning, new light at the end of the tunnel. It is not over, my friend, my sister, my brother, until God says it's over. Hallelujah. You can begin again. There can be new hope. And for those of you that have lost spouses, you can begin again. God can bring about new hope and new life. Hallelujah. God can give you another soulmate. Just as beautiful as the one that you lost. We serve in that kind of God. I tell you, God can make all things new. Because we are Christians hanging on by a fingernail. As we feel ourselves sliding down the hill, we can persevere. To hang tough, be strong. Don't quit, my friend. Don't quit, my brother and my sister. Even when God says no, and you're expecting a yes. Even when he says yes, and you anticipated a no. And especially when he says to wait, and you expected it now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Like I first stated, God made the promise to Abraham. We know that he could swear by no one greater. He swore by himself. I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And thus, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. That scripture reading is coming out along Hebrews 6 and 13 through 15. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your holy name. So, we know that though you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who thought faith and patience inherit the promise, we know that we can imitate those strong-minded men and women in biblical history because they believed God. They said, in effect, I will stand no matter what occurs. I will believe even though my world crumbles and my house lean. No calamity will make me fall. And we know that as an illustration of just such an individual, we can keep on looking to Abraham. And we know that if you and I don't know your Bible, you can appreciate the extent to which Abraham and Sarah trusted God. We find out that the two of them had been married for years. She was 65, he was 75. And if you can believe this, God had said to the man that in the latter years of his life, his wife was going to have a baby. God promised Abraham in no uncertain terms. He swore on the basis of his own integrity that Sarah would have a son. And then after making that firm promise, God said, now you must trust me. You wait. Abraham waited a year and nothing happened. By then, Sarah had turned 65. He waited another 10 years. By that time, she was 76. Still nothing had happened. Another 10 years, nothing at all. Then Abraham was nearing his 100th, hallelujah, birthday, which means his wife was about 90 years of age. God came back and said, I'm here again. Hallelujah. Guess what? You're still going to have that baby. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We know that God's word is sure. We may sometimes have to go off our word with some calamity, catastrophe in our lives. And we might have to say, well, girl, you know, if you ever need any money, you can just call me up. Write me a letter. Write me a line. Text message me. Email me. Call me on the phone. If you ever need any financial, you know, hands up, you can just call me. And then at that time that they take us up on our word, we might be in a position to where our money's tied up, or maybe we have just exemplified all of our finances and we have any money to lend out. But we know that God's word stands true. It stands firm on a solid foundation. His word stands sure. And when we cannot believe anything, we can believe God's word. because God is a spiritual man of his way. Hallelujah. If we were to return to the original time when the first dialogue occurred, we would gain a whole new appreciation for God's faithfulness and his consistency. But it's a wonderful story because it proves how trustworthy God is. And God is in the waiting period. So we can pick up the story as God is speaking to you and I, to his friends, Abraham. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And he says, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarah, but call her Sarah, S-A-R-A-I. But Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, shall be her name. And I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be of nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. That scripture reading is coming out of Genesis 17 and 15 through 17. Can you imagine Abraham's response? Oh, I cannot believe this, God. Here, you are talking about this baby who is going to come into our home. God, how can this be? Hallelujah. But I love Abraham's honesty. And I wonder if he was smiling, maybe chuckling, when he answered. Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who's 90 years old, bear a child? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We have this other young man in our home. God have it happen through him. That makes a lot of sense. God had not planned that. The arrangement would be through Ishmael. But he said, Sarah shall bear you a son. You shall call his name Isaac. The name Isaac means in Hebrew. You laughed at me. I'll laugh at you. I'll show you when that boy is born that I keep my word, says the Lord. Now you might think Sarah's waiting in the wings, just as confident as she can be. It will be exactly as it was promised. But you can take a closer look at the law of Genesis account in chapter 18 and verse 9. We know that three men have come for a visit, bringing a message from God to underscore what he had said earlier. Abraham is there. Sarah's listening through the tent flap. Where's Sarah, your wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Sarah was past childbearing, and Sarah laughed to herself. Verse 9 through 12. 90 years old, huh? Why not? There's not much else to do but laugh at something like this. You know, after all, I'm 90 years of age. I'm not going to get pregnant. I'm going to bear a son. You gotta be kidding. Hallelujah. But on our way back to Hebrews 6, we can stop off at Romans 4. We can fully appreciate Hebrews or Genesis without the Romans 4 passage. Fully appreciate Hebrews or Genesis without the Romans 4 passage sandwiched in between. And we know that our friend Abraham, who might have laughed on the outside, but down deep was obvious confident that God could do it in Romans 4 and 18. Hallelujah. And they said, in hope against hope, he believed. There it is, friends. That's what Hebrews 6 is talking about. In hope against hope. when it didn't make sense, when the physical body couldn't pull it off, when it was an impossibility to man. So we know that it's impossible with man and one man. But with God, it is possible. All things are possible to him and them that believe. So all you've got to do is believe, not of what you can see, but what you can believe. Because we know that in the scripture, Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But yet you cannot see it. You cannot physically put your fingers on it, but you have a sense of belief that it is going to come to pass. It is coming to fruition in your life, in your family, in your workplace, in the doctor's office. Hallelujah. That it is going to come to pass. We're talking about the birth of true hope on tonight. Put your hope in gear. Hallelujah. I double dare you to put your hope in trust in God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. And I know my time is just about run out. I have just a little bit more, and then we're going to go on in to our Hymns of Zion program. Hallelujah. But I just got so excited, you know, just about reading this passage for, because, you know, it just makes you feel good to know that God is able to impregnate a woman in her 90s. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? We serve a God of endless possibilities. I mean, endless. Woo! My God. So that means that your God and my God and our God can do anything. But it's with one exception. God can do anything and everything that he's big enough and bad enough to do. But with one exception, my friend, my sister, my brother, and that is fail. There is no such thing in God. There is no failing in God. You and I might fall. Sure, we fall every day. We fall short of the glory and honor of God daily. But one thing that we can stake our life on, our very breath on, and that is God saying, God is never going to fail. God conquered both death, hell, and the grave when he went to Calvary Cross over 2,000 light years ago. So my friend, our parents might fail us, those of us that have parents still alive. Our children might fail us. Our co-workers might fail us. Our boss man might fail us. Our business partners might fail us. Our doctors might fail us. Our lawyers might fail us. But it's one person that will not fail you. And his name, my friend, is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's no failing in God. So we're going to leave it right here, and hopefully we'll take back up on tomorrow with the birth of true hope. And I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you'd want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf. You're most certainly encouraged in your correspondence to God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station has been brought to you by Block Talk Radio. This program has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondent, make them attend to Overseer Janet's Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Web address is www.JanetsWardMinistries.org. Till we meet again across these skyways and airways, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Till we meet again across these skyways and airways, you buckle up with Jesus at the wheel, because he is people friendly. Up next is Hymn of Zion. Uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. May God bless you, you and you. Bye for now.
Thank you. I'm getting ready. Just the way. Jesus' name, found no rest, afflicted.